Hi there, Dr. B here with your week one clarifying lecture. How these will work is that I'll be giving you some feedback on your assignments, I'll answer your questions, and also give you some tips and pointers. So here we go. I loved watching your introductory videos. It's always one of the favorite things that I do each semester. We've got plenty of different types of people here. We've got people from Georgia, Alabama, Texas, New Jersey, West Virginia, Colorado, Ohio, Pittsburgh, and we have lots of people from Philadelphia, including my alma mater, Temple University, which is good because I tend to be a fast talker. And those of you from Philadelphia and New Jersey will probably be very familiar with that. We've got lots of students from Towson, so welcome. We have accountants, returning students, census analysts, psychologists, people who work with eating disorders. We even have a ex-pro football player, so welcome. I think you'll find that ABA is very different from psychology, and it'll be really hard to kind of meld the two together. I ask that you keep an open mind, but also be careful of that mentalism. We'll go over that quite a lot this semester. We also have some people who are interested in forensics and juvenile justice, and that is a place where we really could use more behavior analysts, so I'm really glad for that. Remember that ABA is a science, and this is something that you have learned in week one. It's not a method. Behavior analysis is the natural science by which we can create 1,000 methods for 1,000 different problems. In martial arts, which I study a little bit, we say if you know a technique, you know one technique. If you understand a concept, you know 1,000 techniques. Same here. If you're getting the science of behavior, then you'll know a million different things to do. So it isn't just for kids with autism. It isn't a method. It really is a science applied to behavior. So maybe an analogy would be biology is the science, but using insulin to combat diabetes and diet to combat diabetes is the application or the method. In order to combat diabetes effectively, you got to know the biology of your pancreas and all that kind of stuff in order to apply it correctly and also troubleshoot when things go wrong. So hopefully that's helpful. We tend to have a lot of lacrosse players in ABA. I'm not sure why, but I also know that there's a lot of work done in ABA in lacrosse, actually. Ray Miltenberger does a lot of that work, so you might find some parallels there. A lot of you are interested in the history of ABA. We will be getting into that a little bit. I also suggest that you look into the History of Behavior Analysis, SIG, or HOBA. Anybody can join. You don't have to be an ABA member, although if you join the Association for Behavior Analysis International, they do have student rates. I see that one of you is actually going to ABAI, which is awesome. Hopefully I'll see you there. They do have a conference every year on Memorial Day. This year it's in Chicago, and you can register on site, but it might be a little hard to get a hotel room. But if you are going, please let me know. There's an interesting question of how many people stay in the field and how many people leave. I don't know that there's been really good research on that. I do know that most of us have had a pretty intensive couple of early years, and that's where we learned the science of behavior, and that's where we learned to apply the science of behavior to just about everything, including our own self-care. So those of us who have stuck around, yeah, we went through some rough times, but we made it through, and we're now using that knowledge to pass along to you. Something to keep in mind, I will push back on you if you say you're a visual learner or an auditory learner or anything like that, because the science has actually debunked the notion of learning styles. I know we hear about it all the time, but in science, there is actually no one set learning style. We'll learn a little bit, maybe in this class, maybe in later classes, about learning channels, Learning channels are the way that we take in information and the way that we output information, but there's no such thing as one set learning style. That's sometimes a bit of a shocker for people, but it is true. Just want to make sure that you're using the correct terminology. I will be strict with terminology across the semester. There is no such thing as a behavioral analyst or behavioral analysis. Behavior analyst. And for some reason, people have started using the term ABA. I really discourage you from using that term as applied behavior analyst. You are a behavior scientist. You are not just applied. You're using the science of behavior. So when you become certified, it's not just applied. It's behavior analyst. And you have to know the basics. You got to know the concepts. You got to read widely. You got to get continuing education. So try to get into the habit of saying behavior analyst versus behavior analyst. And also applied behavior analyst. As we know, behavior analysis is not just for kids with autism. It is for everyday life. And this course is built. If we are teaching using behavioral principles. Inner teaching is a behavioral methodology. Using fluency is a behavioral methodology. So there's good science behind what we're doing. And I'm happy to share that science with you if you ever want to know. Let's see, what else? Also, be careful of the term behavior modification. It's an old school term. We don't use it anymore. So I just want to make sure that you know that you should be using the term behavior analysis. Just that. Another thing is that the American Psychological Association, which is the citation style that we use in behavior analysis, education, psychology, and so forth, uses person first language. Now, I know that there is a move with self-advocates to use the term autistic. I don't want to take away from that. However, because the APA says that we are supposed to say children with autism, and we're doing this in a professional realm, I'm going to expect that we all use person first language rather than calling people autistic. Let's see. Don't worry about kids and pets coming into the videos. It, you know, adds a little comic relief every so often, so I don't mind it. Hopefully, your colleagues won't mind it, and occasionally you might even see my dog Oscar. So, don't worry about that at all. Some of you have been talking about SOLs. It doesn't mean what you think it means if you live outside of Virginia. Virginia, we have the Standards of Learning Exam. That's our high stakes test. Somebody has a sense of humor apparently when they named it, but just want to make sure, because not everybody does the SOLs, that it's not what you think. And then there was a question about how ABA is accepted outside the United States. Great question. For the most part, we are accepted, I guess, except really in Europe. People in Europe have had a really hard time getting ABA to be accepted, especially in France. And Carola Dillenberger-Keenan and Katrina Dunavari, I believe her name is, have written quite a bit about that if you want to learn more. All right, let's get to your interteaching. For the most part, y'all look pretty good this week. I did grade pretty leniently just because I know this is the first week, we're getting settled, that type of stuff. Make sure you check out. I do want to see you three times this term. So please make sure that you sign up for a time with either Michelle or myself using the schedule that we have provided to you. Your grade is cumulative, so it's going to be 10 points per week. For those of you who are like, oh my gosh, what happened? You can only get up to 10 points every week. The main purpose of this assignment is to talk amongst your group members. Inner teaching doesn't work unless you have a discussion. The discussion is really the piece that makes the assignment, as is discussing it with us, with Michelle and I. So make sure that you're getting together, that you're talking. Even if you have to schedule multiple meetings, that's fine by me. But I do want you talking to each other about it. Some things I saw. Remember that the science of behavior affects everything we do, appropriate and inappropriate. I want you to get out of the habit of thinking that positive is good and negative is bad, because that's where people get really jacked up when it comes to positive and negative reinforcement. Those are the two that really get people. If you think positive is good and negative is bad, it's going to be a problem. So think of positive to add and negative to subtract. So positive gives, negative takes away, and you'll be okay. Behavior analysis is very mathematical in its orientation. So if you think about this more as math rather than psychology, you'll be on your way a little bit more easily. Number one is really about your elevator speech, because people are going to ask you what you do, and you're going to be like, I'm a behavior analyst. Well, what the heck is that? Are you analyzing me right now? Michelle, I'm sure, can come up with other ones. Are you trying to read my mind? All kinds of different things. And you really have to come up with a 30-second answer as to say what you do for a living. And I tend to tell people that I'm a professional people watcher, that I'm watching their environment, I'm watching what they do, and with their permission, I'm using that to make their lives better. That's how I say it. You'll have to come up with your own. Now, when it comes to number two, this one is always kind of a sticky one, and it's sticky for me to talk about, actually, because I understand that many of you come from traditions and maybe religions where free will is kind of a main tenet, but you have to understand that Skinner did not believe in free will. He also didn't believe that we were blank slates, though, that we come born into the world and, you know, reinforcement and punishment are the only things we need to learn. He did not buy into that either. You'll learn that as you go along. But Skinner really said that the world is full of contingencies, and those contingencies shape how we respond, and that there's very little free will to go along with that, that we're not really making the choices we think we're making. And we'll get more into that as it goes along. People start to get a little bit more sophisticated in their answers as things go along. So we're going to come back to this question again and again throughout the term, and so will you. The third question that I asked in inner teaching was something that I was actually asked a couple of years ago, that, you know, you behavior analysts take away the magic of things with your numbers and your data and your reinforcement and your determinism. Aren't y'all depressed? and, you know, some of you said the things that I would say. Again, there's not one right answer to this. But what I said is that I think reinforcement is kind of magical, actually, and that I can track something and I can make a change based on data. To me, science is magic. But other people don't necessarily see it that way. Something that we're also going to be working a lot is this idea of mentalism. So mentalism doesn't mean that we don't think thoughts and feelings occur, because that would be silly. I mean, obviously they do. Internal events, private events, whatever you want to call them, they happen. The difference between mentalism and behaviorism is that we're not saying that those mental events have to be a causal variable. And in fact, it's kind of circular reasoning to say so. So if I say, for example, why did you yell at me? Well, because I was angry. Well, how do you know that you were angry? Because I yelled at you. It's a bit of a circular reasoning. But anger can be part of a chain. It's a behavior. It's just a behavior, just like anything else, that is influenced by the environment, either internal or external. Problem is with internal behaviors is the only person who can really observe it with any type of reliability, dare I say accuracy, will be the person experiencing it, which makes it really hard. We're getting more into that, that realm as we get into relational frame theory. We'll be talking about that kind of stuff this term, but that is mentalism. Mentalism is when you use thoughts and feelings to explain behavior, and say that that's the reason why people behave the way they do. I'll be more strict about the videos as time goes on, with things like mentalism, using behavioral terms appropriately, that type of thing. So make sure that you're really getting yourself into the material before you try to answer those questions. Just want to make sure that y'all know that the stimulus response, I'm hearing people say stimulus response is operant, and you know, it just kills unicorns here and there. Stimulus response, conditioned stimuli, conditioned responses, that's respondent. When you add the third term in, that reinforcement, that's operant. Okay, they both do things, but stimulus response is respondent, that creates a reflex. And when you add the reinforcement contingency, that's operant. Okay, so they are two different things. Make sure you understand the difference. I thought it was interesting. Someone said, I separate work and personal life. I think as you go through this course, that's going to be harder and harder to do. At least it was for me. I'm sure it was for Michelle, because behavior is anything that we do. Personal life, exercise, something that I do. I apply operant principles to that. Walking the dog, something that I do. I apply operant principles to that. Getting your grades done on time, I apply operant principles to that. So I think you'll find that everything is behavior and everything has a contingency. All right, let's get to your questions. I've combined both sections. So these are questions from everyone. And also I wanted to respond to some of your anonymous feedback as well. I'll never name you. I'll just answer your questions. I'd like to hear more about classical conditioning because I'm confusing myself by overthinking it. Very, very common rookie error to overthink. Don't overthink. It's science. Okay. Yeah. What's on the surface is what we mean. So classical conditioning, or Pavlovian conditioning or reflex, works this way, that when you have a neutral stimulus that is paired with a naturally eliciting stimulus. So you pair those two together. What happens is that neutral stimulus takes on the properties of that other stimulus. So for example, let's say you have, and I'll take my dad as an example. When he was a little kid, they went out one night for ice cream. That ice cream apparently gave him he got food poisoning right after he ate the ice cream. After that, he never ate that flavor or that brand of ice cream ever again. And that's classical conditioning. So it's not so much the reinforcer that comes into play as much as it is that pairing of those two stimuli together. I'm watching some continuing ed on trauma-informed therapy. And one of the earliest ways of working with trauma, a gentleman named Joseph Wolpe figured out that if you pair a traumatic event with muscle relaxation, that traumatic event actually stops evoking that trauma response after a while. So that is a classical conditioning. Guy said it was operant, drive me nuts. But that's okay, I'm not there to correct them, right? So hopefully that can help you understand that a little bit better. Quiz. Okay, I've got a bunch of questions about the quiz. We are changing it to a all questions on one page quiz. Do not use your tab key nor your arrow key to answer questions if it's all on one page. It should already be there. If you do that, it will change your answers. So, and the idea of it, some people are like, oh, I need to go faster, I need to process. Let's talk a little bit about fluency for a second. So fluency is quick, consistent, and correct. Okay, so you have to have all three. I want you to think about this for a second. If you've ever been in an elementary school and you've been in an elementary school band, they might be consistent, they might be correct, but a lot of times the notes aren't necessarily quick or when they're supposed to be, and it kind of creates a little bit of a cacophony. So in fluency, you have to have all of these things together. Why is that important? Let's use a reading analogy. A lot of people work with something called oral reading fluency. So they make sure that a student can quickly, consistently, correctly say those sounds when they see the letter. What happens when someone has to sound out words all the time? If they don't have that fluency, then when it comes to more higher order things, for example, reading comprehension, answering questions about the reading, using what they've read to apply, they can't because they've spent so much time decoding that the meaning is lost. Same thing here. Okay. If you're spending so much time, what does that concurrent schedule of reinforcement mean? When it comes to apply it, like in 623 and 624, you're going to have trouble. So here, we're going to get you fluent in the terms. We're going to have you talking like a behavior analyst and make sure that what you're doing is quick, consistent, and correct. And 5 minutes is actually a long time for a fluency drill. So how can you prepare for these fluency drills? The first thing I would do is in your Quizlet, there is at the bottom of the window, there's a little drop-down menu. So you can do all kinds of things with it. You can take practice tests. You can do all kinds of stuff. And what I would suggest is that you try to do these Quizlets as quickly as you can. So, you know, don't try to, oh, I'm going to process it. You know, like, just answer it and see how many you get right. And if you do that for maybe a minute, then go do something else and come back and do it, you know, a little later and so on and so forth, I think you'll find that you're way more fluent in it than if you try to cram. So, let's see here. I think I answered all that. What role does empiricism play in the field of applied behavior analysis? I think I can answer that with a quote from my mentor, the late, great Joe Lally. In God we trust, everyone else must have data. If you don't have data, you can't make a decision. That's ABA. Group times, I think you all have kind of figured that out. You all should be getting together. You're going into Blackboard Collaborate. So you click on Blackboard Collaborate. There's a little tabby at the top of the Blackboard Collaborate page. If you click on there, it'll say record the meeting. That way you can record the meeting. Another thing to keep in mind is that I'm seeing a lot of you trying to work this class through Safari. Don't do that. Okay, when you're doing Collaborate, I recommend Chrome, barring that Firefox. But I think Chrome is really the best one to use. If you're trying to use Safari, you're going to miss buttons. There's going to be things that don't show up for you. So make sure that you're downloading and using Chrome. Also, if you're trying to do this on a netbook, like a Chromebook, I don't recommend that either. Make sure that you get a laptop that has video and audio capabilities. Let's see. What do we need to know about the science of behavior? Hopefully I've answered that one already. Determinism on the study guide, what does it have its roots in? It has its roots in logical positivism. So that's that answer there. We talked about classical conditioning and how it works. Different types. Okay, so you've got the conceptual. So this is, the name is positive reinforcement. You have the experimental. I went into a lab and I saw that there's a relationship between reinforcement and behavior with rats and pigeons and even humans. Applied. I can use reinforcement to change, you know, how my dog behaves, or I can use reinforcement to change how my spouse behaves. That's applied. Those are research articles, though. And then service delivery,
is when you put it together in a package. For example, maybe for kids with autism, or you're putting together a package to increase sports performance, or you're putting together in a package to teach reading. That's the service delivery. There was one question about what science behavior needs to be. Observable, measurable, able to be replicated. Yes, that's what a science of behavior is. Observable, measurable, repeatable. Baby Albert, describe the environment not using the text. There is no answer for that because I want you to come up with your own answer. Okay, so you're using everything in the text and everything to come up with your own description, just like you did in inner teaching. Behaviorist biography template will be going out tomorrow, so don't worry about that. How should we write out the inner teaching? Everybody did it correctly from what I can tell. I only saw one group that was having some trouble. You can work on the page a little bit prior to the meeting, but you do need to discuss your answers and why you came to those answers. The wiki doesn't allow you to work collaboratively like a Google Doc would. That is kind of one of those things that is a drawback of using Blackboard, and I understand that. So, you know, you may want to cut and paste into a Google Doc to work on it, and then once you're done, post it into the wiki. I've seen people have success with that in the past. Is there an option to fast forward or rewind? That is a really long story, but basically there was a time when we built this course when the Behavior Analyst Certification Board said that we could not allow students to put things on double speed, fast forward or rewind. Those restrictions have been taken away, but it was kind of labor and cost prohibitive for us to be able to redo those things. We're hoping to redo them in maybe about a year or so, but for now, unfortunately, there is no way to fast forward or rewind. So I apologize for that. And I know you have to start from the beginning if you leave, but that's what we had to do at the time. The library quiz, a lot of people had some questions about that. And I'll be taking a look at it. Looks like there are some dud questions, so I will look at those. There were some people who were wondering if you could, when you can meet anytime you would like. If you want to meet Monday and Tuesday, that's fine. We just put the options in there just so we could group people together. Are the people we are grouped with in our section? Yes, they have to be. I can't cross sections. So if you're running into trouble, let me know. Let's see here. Connecting with group members, remember you gotta answer that GMU email. You gotta set up that GMU email. It's very, very important that you do so. I can't communicate with you any other way. It's actually a FERPA violation if I do. So that's why that GMU email is just so, so important. Let's see here. There's some study guide questions that are probably a little more specific that I'll need a few more questions about. You can post that to the Q&A board if I haven't answered them. And the two most prominent names in respondent conditioning, Pavlov and Watson. Pavlov, Watson, those are the two big ones. Make sure that you know them very, very well and you know the difference between respondent and operant. Let's see here. Is there anything that I did not answer? I think I did. Let's see. Best time to contact me. Contact me through text. I'm usually around mid-afternoon, early evening. I do have clients that I see between 4 and 7. But allow about 24 hours for me to get back with you. If you really need to meet with me, please schedule an appointment. Just text me and let me know that you need to meet. If you have any technical issues, device malfunctions, server issues, that type of thing, contact the Personal Support Center. They're the ones who are going to be able to answer your questions. They're available 24/7. And quite frankly, they're better at tech than I am. So please make sure that you're going with them. Don't try to email me because I'll send you right to them. Also, don't be afraid to answer each other's questions on the Q&A. Michelle and I will chime in, but you know, it's totally okay. And actually, it's preferred that you all are working together and talking with each other. So feel free to do that. All right, I think I answered everything. If I didn't, please let me know. Thank you so much for watching, and looking forward to seeing you in Module 2.